You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word.
Are you praying for someone that you love to discover the wonderful gift of salvation in Jesus Christ? You know, most of us have someone that we love who doesn't yet know the Lord. I know I do. And we would do anything, anything, to see them come to Jesus. Welcome to Through the Bible. Today we're engaged in a very compassionate lesson from our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, who tells us about the finest kind of evangelism, that is, prayer evangelism. We're continuing in our five-year journey through the whole Word of God, this time in Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 29. But first, let me share an amazing letter from the Bible Bus. Susan from Vancouver, BC writes, "I'm sure you hear it all the time. I wasn't looking for Jesus, but when I heard your program on the Bible, I found him anyway. That's my story. My husband's from Asia. I am from the Middle East. Together, we've tried every major religion there is, Buddhism, Islam, Rastafarianism, Scientology, and most recently, atheism. Earlier this year, someone at work gave me a cute little school bus flash drive with your program on it. I listened. And though I am just beginning to make sense of it all, I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ 2 weeks ago. I've gone to my friend's church for the last 2 months, and I know that I've finally found the truth. I have no words to tell you thank you except to say that if someone out there is praying for someone they love to find Jesus, that they should just keep at it." Wow. Enough said. Let's pray. Father, we surrender to you those we love who have yet to turn to you in faith. We trust that you're working in their lives even now. Bless the word today and the saving truth that it brings to willing hearts. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we come back today to this 10th chapter of the book of Acts, the conversion of Cornelius. And we're at verse 29. We saw that Simon Peter came into the home of Cornelius and practically insulted him. He said he'd never been in the home of that which was common or unclean before. But he says God's told him not to call any man common or unclean, that they're all sinners and they're all savable. Now will you notice, I begin reading at verse 29. "Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent you sent for me." Now, this is what amazes me. Why would Simon Peter ask that question? I would think he'd open up the conversation immediately about the Lord Jesus. But do you notice he doesn't? This man is waiting for the leading of the Spirit, friends. He's not rushing into this. This ought to be a lesson to many of us today who are rather brusque or crude even in our witnessing. We find it difficult to witness, so we're very, generally when we do it very amateurish, and we do it abruptly, and we do it in a way that sometimes offends, and we ought not to witness like that, of course. We ought to be led of the Spirit of God. I personally believe that the finest kind of evangelism is prayer evangelism. And I mean by that to begin praying for an individual. Then the day comes when you need to put legs on your prayer. Then ask God if you're praying for a loved one, if you're praying for a friend or a stranger you've met, ask God to lead you. And friends, I know that He'll lead you. Don't just do this on your own, because if you do it in the flesh, of course, you're going to fail. Let God be the one to lead you. Well, I wonder if I may right here repeat something I have told before. But when I was a student in college, I was very zealous to want to witness for God. But again, I was rather timid and shy about it. And I very frankly wanted to be sure I had leading. Formerly, when I was in college, I did a great deal of hitchhiking because I didn't have money to pay my bus fare or train fare. So I was out on the highway, and a man went by me in a Model A Ford, a brand new one, by the way, and He drove down, I suppose, 50 yards past me, stopped, and then he motioned for me to come. And I came rushing up with my little suitcase, and he said to me, get in. He said, I just wanted to look you over before I picked you up. He said, I don't want to pick up anyone without first looking them over. He introduced himself. He was a salesman for several of these drug concerns. And he asked me, he said, where are you going? I said, to Memphis. He said, well, I'm going there, and I'd be glad to take you. He said, provided you don't mind me stopping at several drug stores on the way. I'll be stopping there to get orders. So we rode along and talked about everything under the sun, and I was praying under my breath. I said, Lord, I'd like to say something to this man, but you'll have to open the door for me. I'm not going to open the door for the simple reason that he might open the door here if I mention anything about religion and say, what have I got in here, some religious nut, and turn me out way down on the highway somewhere where I didn't want to be turned out, and I'd have difficulty. So I very frankly said to him, just answering his questions. And so we rode along. We talked about, I think, everything under the sun. He'd stopped at several drugstores on the way. At lunchtime, he asked me, was I hungry? And I was, and he bought my lunch. He said to me, I get awfully tired of driving. Do you drive? I said, yes. He said, would you like to? I said, I sure would. So I got in and started driving. And we rode along, talked about different things. He was very much relaxed. He had mentioned this thing and that thing. Finally, we ran out of conversation. We were about 60 miles out of Memphis, riding along, and there came a lull in the conversation because, as I said, we just run out of conversation. And I was praying all the time. I said, Lord, we're getting near Memphis. There hadn't been a door open. I'm not going to open it. I don't want to be put out. I said, if you want me to witness, then you open the door for me. Well, we rode along, I guess, 10 minutes. And finally, he just spoke out of a clear sky. He says, you know, my wife and I went to church yesterday, and he laughed and looked at me and laughed, and I laughed too. And he said, you know, I don't go very often. And he said, you know, that preacher said the funniest thing. He said that Jesus was coming back to this earth again. He said, what do you think about that? Well, I told him, friends, from then on in, I told him what I thought about it, and I was able to talk to him about the first coming of Christ. And I said to him, fine, I said, the second coming of Christ means nothing to you. But I said, it's the first coming, that you've got to come to Christ to accept what he did for you the first time, if you'd have any interest at all in his second coming. And this man was, very frankly, wide open. And he actually took me to the dormitory where I stayed at college. And he parked there, and he said, I want to see you again. And so I just blurted right out. I said, wouldn't you like to accept Christ as your Savior? He said, I sure would. Well, I said, sitting right here, you can accept him. He said, I will. And so we bowed our heads in prayer, and I prayed and asked him to pray, and he accepted Christ. May I say to you, I'll be honest with you, I would never open my mouth if the Lord hadn't somehow or another prompted him to open up a conversation. I think, friends, we need to be Spirit-led. And you know, the first sermon I preached when I was ordained in Nashville, I looked down at the congregation, and there sat that man and his wife. He just sat down there smiling. Afterward, I said to him, I said, look, I'd like for you to join this church. He said, I've already joined a Baptist church over on the other part of town. And he says, it's a good church, and I'm not about to move over here with you. And he didn't. But it was wonderful, friends, to have that experience. I think that we ought to be very careful in our witnessing. That's my idea. And this man, Simon Peter, is not blurting out saying anything. He's led by the Spirit of God. He said to him, why in the world have you called for me? Why'd you send for me? Verse 30 now, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. At the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God? In other words, Cornelius said, I don't know why I sent for you. God wanted me to send for you. You must have a message. And now will you notice the message of Simon Peter? Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. What a marvelous thing that we have in the conversion of this man here. Notice now what happened. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Now you see, Cornelius and those assembled are living in Caesarea, knew certain basic facts about Jesus of Nazareth, about what had been happening the past 3 or 4 years in that land. Now listen to Simon Peter, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were pressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Now notice, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Now this man, Simon Peter, notice what he does. He presents the facts concerning Jesus Christ. He says, now there's certain things that you already know, and they probably knew about the death of Jesus. But now he says, this is what happened, that he died on the cross, and God raised him the third day and showed him openly. Now, this was the message. This is the gospel, and nothing short of that. Now, this past Christmas, I have noted that a great many have sent out Christmas cards and messages on which there is this little quotation, "One Solitary Life." And now it's a very fine thing that's been written, no question about that. And it's very readable. But there is a strange omission there. It's a solitary omission. The most important fact is not recorded. This records the fact that he died, that Jesus died, but it doesn't even mention his resurrection. It even mentions his burial, but it's left out his resurrection. Friends, there wasn't a sermon preached in the New Testament, and especially in the book of Acts, that did not mention the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the very heart of the gospel. And until that's preached, my friend, you haven't heard the gospel. Jesus died, buried, rose again. That's a historical fact, and your relationship to it determines your eternal destiny, for he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now listen to Simon Peter as he continues in verse 41. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. My friends, I don't criticize Simon Peter very much, as you know. I rejoice in him, and I tell his weaknesses and his faults with great joy, because he's so human, and he's so like another fellow that I know very well by the name of McGee. But the important thing is, he preached the gospel, friends, and this is the gospel. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And until you do that, you haven't done anything, friends, not for God. Notice what happened now. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, that they should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now this has been labeled the Gentile Pentecost. Peter is astonished here that the Gentiles too have received the Holy Spirit. and that the Holy Spirit's been poured out upon them. It is made audible by their speaking in tongues. Now, this had a purpose in that day. As you can see, I think the tongues were more of an evidence to Simon Peter and the other apostles that God would save Gentiles, because Simon Peter's going to come back to this in the next chapter, and he'll come back to it in the 15th chapter, that this was the evidence that they had been saved. Not that they had been baptized by the Spirit, but that they had been saved. And these that were the Jews in that, they could not believe that Gentiles were going to be saved in spite of what the Lord had told them. Now the Gentiles in Cornelius' house are baptized, and that was a tremendous moving of the Spirit of God. Again, I call your attention to the fact that there are three representative conversions. The Ethiopian eunuch, Saul of Tarsus, and Cornelius. The Ethiopian eunuch is a son of Ham. Saul of Tarsus, a son of Shem. Cornelius, the Roman centurion, a son of Japhet. And the Holy Spirit moves in each case using the Word of God and the man of God. And then there came into existence a son of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now will you notice chapter 11? And in chapter 11, we have Peter defends his ministry, and the gospel goes to Antioch. And he defends his ministry to the Gentiles. And that was pretty difficult for Simon Peter to do. Now will you notice? And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. That is, there was doubting and division. Then they were saying, "Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them." My, that was a terrible thing to do, you see, for Simon Peter. And if you had talked to Simon Peter a month before that, he would have told you it was a terrible thing to do. But now, listen to Simon Peter. And actually, this is an apology that he gives. He makes it clear he didn't want to do this, that the Spirit of God was in it all. Verse 4, "But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying," listen to him now, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me." And he was amazed at that. "Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts." And you see, they were forbidden to be eaten. "And creeping things, and they were forbidden. And fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord. For nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up." And the idea and the word is, all were suddenly drawn up again into heaven. "And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. He showed us how he had seen an angel," and so on. And notice how Simon Peter recounts the detail. Now, verse 16, "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Forasmuch then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" Now, you see, the purpose of the tongues was to give evidence to Simon Peter that Gentiles had turned to God. Now, will you notice, verse 18, "When they heard these things, they held their peace." Even the Judaizers had to shut their mouths now. They had nothing to say about this. This was obviously of God. "And they glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Now, this is a great day that has come, you see. The door now has been opened to the Gentiles, and we'll see shortly that the gospel will start out to the ends of the earth. Now, verse 19, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now the Grecians, you remember, they were Greek in language and custom, but they were Hebrews. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things come unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Now, Antioch becomes the second center of the church. It shifts from Jerusalem to Antioch. Now, he comes up there because he finds out there's a great moving of the Spirit of God, the church in Jerusalem did. Verse 23, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man. That's a wonderful thing to say about Barnabas. He was a good man. And there's no reason why a Christian shouldn't be a good man unless he's a woman, and then should be a good woman. And full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And much people were added unto the Lord. And actually, Barnabas becomes the pastor of the church there. And he saw immediately he needed an assistant pastor, and he knew where to get a good one. Verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And you detect here in the word that when he had found him, the idea is that Saul was reluctant to come. He held back. When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And friends, I see no reason why that we should read into this something quite terrible because they're called Christians. I do not think that you have to say here it was a term of ridicule. I think they just saw these people and they said they are the followers of Christ. And since they're followers of Christ, they're Christians. They are the followers of Him. And that is all right. That's a good name. And it may not have been given in derision. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Now notice that there were prophets in the early church. Apostles and prophets are not needed today. There's some think they're prophets, but they're not. Verse 28, there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And by the way, that's recorded in secular history. Verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Notice the fraternal spirit, the bond of love that held the early church together. The church in Jerusalem had been persecuted, decimated, hurt, and they were in need during this time of famine. And so the other believers send help to them, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. And I think Saul had been one who'd wasted the church in Jerusalem, and it's wonderful that by the same hands now he brings relief to them. This is Christianity, friends, in shoe leather, and that's where it ought to be today. We'll leave off right there and begin in chapter 12 next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
That's a great lesson. And you know, it's a picture of godly love. God using us to care for others in need. We are His hands and feet. It's like that letter that we read earlier from Susan. Susan's friend was God's hands, giving her the Word of God in our little flash drive. It's the Word of God that made the difference, but God used her friend to get it to her. By the way, that little flash drive really is an amazing resource. It's got the entire 5-year journey through the whole Word of God on it, just like you hear on the radio or on a broadcast, YouTube, wherever you're listening, as well as all of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines and his digital booklets. You'll find it in the online store at ttb.org. You can also call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE to order it. Now, while you're at ttb.org, be sure and check out all the free resources we offer for you to share with your unsaved friends. Just click on How Can I Know God, for example, and you can send them a link to many great messages by Dr. McGee, as well as download or print several booklets. And then there's always room on the Bible bus for one more. We always say that. So be sure to invite everyone you know to hop aboard as we travel along in God's Word together. You know, there are so many options for catching the Bible bus. To see them all, you can visit ttb.org/listen to find out about them all. We got another exciting study in the book of Acts coming up next time. I'm Steve Schwetz, and let's remember to keep praying.
Jesus made it home. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world. And we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's Word go today?
You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
You are listening to WWBC Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Cocoa, 99.9 FM.
That's why we do what we do every single day, is to help people find their purpose and their passion. And she has found a way to come out of everything that she thought was perfect, the perfect house, the perfect husband, the perfect this, and find her true self. And how many people do we know in life that are just going through the process of life and they're so unhappy?
Too many that are living the life that someone else thought they should live.
Yes.
And they, through their own peer pressure, have taken that on. Mm-hmm. And her story is powerful because, you know, you see in her someone who did all the right things, and then you see her begin to grow into the real individual that she was, and recognize that, yes, she had it all. I mean, she had the six-figure job, and, you know, most people think, well, how can on earth could you possibly be unhappy and miserable with that in your life? But as we've heard so many times, you know, if what you're doing every day is not your passion, then it is a real J-O-B.
Yes.
Versus do something you love and you'll never go to work again.
Yes. Type and that's thing. Not just a cliche.
Yes, right. It's the truth. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And but it's very tough for people to spring from a secure environment. So we admire her courage in doing that. And along that way, she learned some things about herself, you know, and she certainly learned that her calling, if you will.
Yes.
And her mission was to help other people know the value of living and doing and breathing your personal purpose.
Yes.
And that's, again, a statement we've all heard, and we've read books about it, and we've heard stories about it. It takes a tremendous amount of courage to do that because, you know, the path is uncharted. And, you know, a lot of faith is required.
Yes.
And you walking away from a very secure paycheck every month versus the unknown. But as evidenced by our guest today, the joy that she has found in doing that is something that many people can only hope for and have never attained. They worked for 60 years somewhere and never attained that. So a very admirable individual.
And when you look at the brevity of life, when we look at all of the people that are leaving this world, you wonder how many people at the end of their life, however long or short that it is, will say, I did what I loved doing.
Right.
You know, and I think when you find that and you fulfill that purpose, that's when our lives are complete. I talk to too many people every single day that absolutely can't stand what they're doing. It is drudgery all the way around, but they get paid well. It supports all of those things that we call success. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens. And
it
then you
is.
Get trapped in that.
Yes, you do. And unfortunately, the toll on that kind of approach to your profession is the side effects are very costly.
Yes.
You know, health issues begin to occur, unhappiness, sometimes relationships are broken as a result of that. So there's never going to be the situation that, you know, you have to do what mom and dad thought you should do.
Right.
And I see this so often with entrepreneurs who want and need their children to take over their business because they have worked all these years to build this business. But guess what? If that business is not the passion of those children, it's not going to work. And we've seen people force it, and it just didn't work. It did
it's
not
putting
work.
That square
peg
and trying to jam it in.
Right, right.
And didn't we experience that this past graduation season?
Yes.
Where we saw kids who were so accomplished, and we saw parents who were so proud. There's nothing wrong with accomplishments. There's nothing wrong with being proud
of
those things.
Absolutely, yeah.
But if those things are for the wrong reasons,
if the motivation for that was fear you know,
or pleasing,
or total expectation, or, you know, to meet mom and dad's goals, you know. And I've heard parents admit, you know, I'm living vicariously through my children.
Right.
I think that's a dangerous statement.
I think so, too.
Because sometimes the pressure that they feel from that is huge. And can be devastating, particularly if they are being asked to do something that is not a fit.
Right. And can
for
you,
them.
And can you imagine us as parents and aunts and people with expectations for our kids, we keep pressing all that in and pressing
right.
it in, and that person goes along. And, you know, Karen talked about being a lawyer and doing all of these right things, but never being happy with
right.
that.
Right.
And eventually having to make the shift and find what she was created to do. And people said, are you crazy? You're going to leave this six-figure job and you don't know what...
Yes.
And I admire people who can just take that step not knowing. And that's really what faith is.
Right. Absolutely. And she is a living proof of it, and certainly a strong story of success that came from someone who, yes, maybe she had a lot of good academic skills to prepare her
right.
for fulfilling her purpose, but how she's sharing that message with others, to me, is incredibly powerful.
And I think we all need somebody.
Yes, we do.
Especially for those people who would say, you know what, Karen was talking to me.
Right.
I've been in this job, I'm making great money, but I always wanted to be mm-hmm. or do.
Mm-hmm.
Life is too short to, at the end, say, I wonder what would have happened if.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
What she does is she really, as a coach, she helps people walk through that.
Right.
And she's not saying jump off the cliff and quit your job, but she's saying at some point to fulfill what you were created to do and to be on this planet, you've got to start.
Right, right. You know, an exercise that I've heard others do, and I think it's really, really good, is to take a piece of paper and write this sentence down. I expect to be doing blank in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really just, you know, lay all of this exterior stuff aside and allow yourself to fill that in with what makes you get excited when you write that down.
Right.
And then, of course, the hard question is, what are you doing today to prepare yourself for that? Are you doing the thing that continues to make you miserable? Are you willing to start taking steps to get you there?
Right. And don't shame yourself when you write it down. Don't
right.
shame yourself if you haven't started. But just know that these conversations hopefully
right.
will pique that other thing
right.
in you that really is bursting to come out. We are out of time for now. I'm Carlette Christmas.
And I'm Glenda Stock. And this is our final point today on Point.
Stay with us, everybody. We're back right after this.
You're listening to On Point Talk with Carlette Christmas, the official OPT network. Our goal is to encourage, uplift, and enlighten you, one conversation at a time.
Truck drivers are in huge demand. Global Trucking Academy has experienced, certified instructors that can have you trained, driving, and tested for your new career in less than 5 weeks. Global Trucking Academy has a 100% passing rate and possible earnings from $50,000 to $70,000 per year. Global Trucking Academy will assist students with applying for funding, and we are an approved training provider for Louisiana Rehabilitation Services and VAGI Bill Grant. Our program includes job placement, CDL training for Class A and B licenses, third-party testing, refresher courses, school bus driver referrals, and we always put safety first. Global Trucking Academy is located in Marksville, Louisiana at 320 Cottage Street. Want a career in truck driving? Go to www.globaltruckingacademy.com or Global Trucking Academy on Facebook or phone 318-597-8806 from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Don't forget to ask about our program for high school students.
Choice Providers is dedicated to providing professional, reliable, and quality caregiving services to our clients. Choice Providers services are caring companionship, light housekeeping, meal preparation assistance, errands and shopping, transportation needs, medication reminders, bathing assistance, and many other services as identified. Programs covered are LTPCS, EPSDT, CCW, formerly EDA waiver, New Opportunities Waiver, Children's Choice Waiver, ROW, Veterans Choice Program, and private pay. For more information about choice providers, the address is 2006 Gus Kaplan Drive, Suite A in Alexandria, Louisiana, or phone them at 318-484-7310.
You're listening to On Point Talk with Carlette Christmas, the official OPT network. Our goal is to encourage, uplift, and enlighten you, one conversation at a time.
This is KAYT-FM. 88.1 Gina, Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood, Shreveport. 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe. 100.1 Lake Charles. And KQJO-FM. 99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi. And online at www.kaytfm.com.
The OPT News Brief is brought to you by the Law Offices of Malcolm Larvadane. What's the name? Larvadane. And by CLECO, connecting Louisiana's future. During last week's School Board Education Committee meetings, Director of Transportation Laurent Baptiste acknowledged the challenges of the bus drivers last year and said that new software that redrew routes throughout the parish caused some confusion for parents as to when and where their kids would be picked for school. And as of this moment, there are 17 bus driver positions still open with Rapides Parish. For OPT News, I'm Wade Hampton. This has been your OPT News Brief, brought to you by the Law Offices of Malcolm Larvadane. What's the name? Larvadane. And by CLECO, connecting Louisiana's future.
Welcome back, everybody, to the OPT Network. I'm Carlette Christmas. This is the Carlette Christmas Show. If you're listening, and hopefully you'll be watching at 9 a.m., not 6, 9 a.m., you're on point. We hope that your morning is off to a very good start. Of course, it's Tuesday, and we can choose this day to determine how we're going to feel and how our morning is going to start. As always, we like to remind you to go to our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. When you get there, please remember to like the page, follow, and you can also sign up for $100 free gas cards when you get there. It's easy peasy. All you got to do is click on the link, type your name in and your phone number, and that registers you for $100 free gas cards. We also hope that you go to our website, www.onpointtalk, and our YouTube page, which you just type my name in or any variation of my name. And when you get there, if you like the content, please remember to like, subscribe, and share with your tribe. Good morning to all on this Tuesday morning. Good morning, Shreveport, listening on 92.5. Monroe, West Monroe, listening on 98.9. Lake Charles, listening on 100.1. And, of course, Natchez, listening on 99.3. You're right here, locked into KAYT FM 88.1. To all of Central Louisiana, good morning to you. You know, so many things are happening in and around our world and in our communities, and sometimes it's hard to feel like you have a choice. It's hard to choose to be happy, to be peaceful, to be positive when it seems like everything around your world is just crumbling. And you know, yesterday, as I was on the way home and just reading this book, Living on Purpose, I realized that all of us go through various different things at various different times, but the relationship that we have with ourselves is the most important relationship that we can cultivate, because when we cultivate that relationship, it just makes other relationships better. So no matter what you're dealing with on this Tuesday morning, I hope that you choose to look to a source higher and greater than yourself, especially when you just don't have a choice in the matter, when there's absolutely nothing that you can do, when you are totally powerless, that you just choose to link up to the source that knows everything about everything. With that said, you know that school is still out. So all zones are now school zones. We ask every single morning that you really be mindful and watchful for kids and people. Yesterday, on the way home, I saw more people walking on the highway. You know, I don't know where people are going. One girl was walking in LeCount, coming, you know, when you're going north toward Cheneyville from Alexandria. She was coming up the one way, head down, texting on the phone. And if you're not paying attention, you're not expecting people to walk on the shoulder of the roads. But we know anything can happen. So you just have to be watchful, not only for kids, but for people who are not paying attention. And we always like to remind you that distracted driving, any distractions, is just dangerous. Of course, today is Tuesday. It's that day that we go back to basics with Tony Bowie at 7:30. So stay locked in for that. But first, we're going to bring you the OPT thought meditation intention for the day. So stay with us for that right after the break. We want to remind you that the Heart of Louisiana Credit Union is the credit union with heart. When you become a member, you become part of their family. And what a great family they are. They're there for you for whatever your purchase, whatever it is that you need to understand and work through your finances or your savings. The Heart is there with a program to help. There are three locations, two in Alexandria, one in Pineville. Their website, www.heartcu.org.
At Heart of Louisiana Credit Union, you aren't a customer. You're a member of our family, and our members' needs are what matter most. Our profits are returned to you in better rates, free services, and bonus dividend checks that you can spend on what you care about. Because you aren't our customer, you're our family. At Heart of Louisiana, we take our members' needs to heart. Join our growing family and become a member today.
What's the name? It's Larva Dane. When a person from our community gets injured in an accident, there's someone at an insurance company far away from here whose job it is to minimize your injury and make that company money. For them, you're just a number in a billion-dollar profit statement. When you've been hit, you've been hurt. Remember the name. It's Larva Dane. The law office of Malcolm Larva Dane will fight for you to get you the compensation you deserve. In an accident, call the name. It's Larva Dane. The Law Office of Malcolm Larva Dane. 318-445-3533. Call now.
If you're feeling the pain of rising gas prices, the pain when you go to the gas pump, we're giving away free free $100 gas cards daily.
My name is LaToya Washington, and I listen to On Point, the Carlette Christmas Show. I won a $100 gas gift card.
$100 gas cards daily.
Be sure to listen to win.
KAYT FM 88.1 daily from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. or go to our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
I can't do 5Ks anymore. Too much pain.
Feet and ankles giving you trouble? Missing out on activities you used to love? Thankfully, you don't have to live with it. The physicians at Midstate Orthopedic can get you back on your feet. Physical and occupational therapy to alleviate foot pain and restore flexibility, Achilles tendon repair, ankle ligament reconstruction. Schedule an appointment today at 473-9556, online at midstateortho.com.
Did you know with one stop, you can get anywhere in the world from Alexandria International Airport?
From the duck blind in the bayou
to Peking duck in Beijing.
From Friday Night Lights to the lights of Broadway.
From coffee and king cake
to tea with the queen. Cheerio.
AEX, your destination to the world starts here. To book a flight or for more information, visit flyaex.org.
Are you experiencing behavior problems with your child in school? Has your teen been part of the juvenile justice system? During these trying times, being proactive is better than being reactive, especially when it comes to managing undesired behaviors. That's where Dr. Keith A. Fox, Cognitive Behavioral Specialist, comes in. His business, Cognitive Consults LLC, is a cognitive psychology consulting business right here in Alexandria, conducting mental health assessments, substance abuse education, behavioral management, crisis prevention, and human development for individuals, groups, and families. If you or your company is looking for mental health consulting, guidance, or assistance, Cognitive Consults can help. Dr. Fox has over 25 years' experience in correctional institutions, mental health rehab, and residential treatment centers for drugs and alcohol. Make an appointment today with Dr. Fox for consultation. CognitiveConsults.com or 318-446-5965.
Seven local time, 11 minutes after 8 Eastern. Remember, on time is late and early is on time. And here's what I discovered. You know, I had been saying, well, if you're on time, you could be late. Well, to me, this morning, and as I've been thinking about time, even if you're just on time, for me, it's still a push. It's still a rush. And so I know time doesn't matter for a lot of people, but I don't know. I just really want to set a better intention about earliness, because you just never know. It's just better for me, especially if you have lots of things going on. But no condemnation, just something to think about as you're getting there. You don't want to be in such a hurry that, you know, you cause an accident or you waste something on yourself, and you know, it just makes the day more harried and more hurried. Nevertheless, I don't know who that was for. Maybe it was just for me. The OPT meditation says this morning. It says, "Hallowed be thy name." What does that mean to us? Here, quote unquote, name is used in the same sense of spirit. The words mean praise to God for his spirit in the world, making us better. We should be especially grateful for God's spirit, which gives us the strength to overcome all that is base in our lives. His spirit is powerful. It can help us to live a conquering, abundant life. So we praise and thank him for his spirit in our lives and in the lives of others. You know, this morning when I read the meditation, I read it several times this morning because, as I said yesterday on Momentum Monday, almost everybody I know, including myself, is going through a challenging, difficult season. And when you're going through and you just don't know what else you can do. In fact, there is nothing else you can do. We who are controllers, we try to come up with yet another plan. But the real plan is, hallowed be thy name. Just the Spirit of God. And I was saying to my friend this morning, surrender is so, it's such a simple concept, but it's just not easy. Especially when you're dealing with people that you love and you see them going down a path of destruction. And you know that unless God intervenes, nothing good will happen. Even if it's not death, the outcome is just so tragic that you can't watch it. Watching it is like watching a train wreck or watching a car wreck. You just can't turn away. And so when we find ourselves in situations like that, all we can do is pray. You know, it's been said that our kids, and maybe now even our grandkids, will keep us on our knees. They'll keep us in a posture of prayer. And it says that God's Spirit makes us better. And oftentimes we can't make the people in our lives better. And sometimes we don't even know what better is. We think we do. But if we will lean and depend on the source that is all-knowing, all-powerful, able to change any circumstance, and we can surrender, then we'll begin to live the abundant life. Then we'll be more than conquerors. But in and of ourselves, we can conquer nothing. We can't even conquer our own issues and challenges in most cases. And so it says that we praise and thank him for his Spirit in our lives. And this is what's really, really, really challenging. To thank God in the midst of your storm. To just say, God, I thank you. I thank you that you're still on the throne. I thank you that you still watch over your word to perform it. I thank you that you're doing a good work in that person that it just seems hopeless. I just thank you for that. And I trust that you're going to perfect all that concerns the person that you're caring about, the people that you're caring about. It could be a health issue. You know, it could be drugs and alcohol. It could be gambling. It could be pornography. It could be any number of things. But when they are all things that we can't control, then we got to give it to the one who can. And I know I've said this before, but what about free will? You know, God is not going to impose his will on what somebody wants or chooses to do. But we can still just ask God for his intervention. And we can just leave it there. It's hard, hard, hard. But if we don't leave it there, then we're going to be in a posture of consistent worry, you know, making ourselves sick in the process of thinking that that's the way that we could help the other person. And we really just can't. When you've done all that you know to do, Scripture says that you just stand. And I know that we know a lot of word and a lot of scriptures, and sometimes we don't necessarily act on those scriptures. But you know what? Today, grace is new. Fresh set of downs, metaphorically. We can try again. Aren't you glad God doesn't keep reminding us of our failures? Boy, I sure am. You just don't know how much I'm glad about that. Well, here's how we can pray. It says, I pray that I may be grateful for God's Spirit in me. I pray that I may try to live in accordance with that. If you're up, if you're listening, then we have another opportunity to try. And that, family, is our OPT meditation, sponsored by Healthy Blue, providing real health solutions for those who need a little help. Their website is www.myhealthybluela.com.